Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder that BBN is a listener-supported Christian radio and internet ministry. To support us, click donations at bbnradio.org. That's donations at bbnradio.org.
Hey, how's that home building project going? Let BBN help you as you build a strong family to the glory of God. Welcome to Building Blocks for the Family. Our guest today is Jeff Halstead. Our message today is to both fathers and sons as we look into the book of Proverbs. May we know the truth. May we have good spiritual vision and be protected with the truth. Here's Jeff Halstead. Here's the deal, son.
From the time I was a teenager, I read Proverbs chapters 1 through 9 regularly. They were a part of my life all through my teenage years and have continued to be. And then God blessed me with a son of my own. And Proverbs 1 through 9 became a part of my teaching him in biblical wisdom throughout his teenage years. Because if there's one thing we need in the world in which we live, it is biblical wisdom. And dads, grandpas, we're worried a little bit about the legacy that we're leaving our kids. We don't have people, generally speaking, we don't have many people in politics that are going to be teaching our sons about living as a man with biblical wisdom. Do you agree with me? We aren't going to have a whole host of people in a large academic system that are going to prepare our sons to be godly men in mental discernment and moral skill. But the fact of the matter is, it wasn't mainly the teacher's job to do that anyway. It's dad. Before anybody else, it's dad. But dads are also students. Because if we ever stop learning, we're in a whole host of trouble as well. So we find ourselves on both sides of this. And young men, you find yourself as a student, as a son. You got to remember, in Proverbs 1 through 9, you have a king who is writing these words under the superintendence of the Holy Spirit, preparing his son to be king. I want you to be able to rule well. I need for you to have a good head. I need you to be able to think clearly. I need for you to have good vision and see the world as it truly is. Amen? Don't we want that? I want you to know the truth. I want you to see the truth. I want you to be protected with the truth. How do we go about that? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. We'll just look at the first 7 verses this evening, okay? Proverbs chapter 1. Again, keep in mind, a king preparing his son to be king. I need for you to be able to lead well. I need for you to be a godly man. My son, it's time you know a few things. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To understand words of insight. To receive instruction in wise dealing. In righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple. Knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise this wisdom and instruction, and they do so to their own peril. The Proverbs of Solomon. There's a uniqueness here, and if I were to move, which I will, I'll move quickly to verse 2 with the time that we have. There's a twofold purpose, and I want you to grab a hold of this. I want you to understand it, okay? The twofold purpose. It is to develop moral skill. To develop moral skill. Fathers and grandfathers, not only do we need to continue to develop moral skill, we need to exhibit that moral skill and teach that moral skill. That has a knowledge base to it, right? There's some things I have to know. If I'm going to become more skilled in living, and if I'm going to prepare my sons and my grandsons to be morally skilled, then I have a heavy task on hand. But young men, I want you to know something. In Proverbs, the greatest responsibility is placed upon the learner, not simply the teacher. So when we talk about Proverbs this way, and we say one of the main purposes is to develop moral skill, you need to want this. Dads, grandpas, we need to show them what a desire to follow God's ethical rule looks like. That cuts across the board. It has to do with attitudes and affections of our heart. It has to do with entertainment choices. It has to do with the jokes we tell and the ones we don't. It has to do with the way we treat other people, the words that we say, and why we say them. Developing moral skill on the part of the learner. I need to want this. I need to receive this. In order for me to be who God truly wants me to be, I need to listen carefully. I may not even understand everything that Pastor Halstead says during the course of this weekend. I'll get to that in a moment. That's the whole riddles section when we get down a few verses. But you need to receive it. And then the responsibility on the part of the discipler, the dad, the teacher, is to offer it. Not expect somebody else to, but to take up the responsibility and regularly, habitually teach moral skill from the framework of the biblical text. Second purpose, not only to develop moral skill, but to develop mental discernment. Again, a knowledge base here. Mental discernment, we have to know, and we have to be discerning. Have you noticed that there are many things that we have to make choices about for which there is no chapter and verse in the Bible to clearly identify exactly what we're supposed to do? Am I the only one who senses that? Three of us sense that. That's amazing. So how do you make choices? What framework do you use? How do you discern? We're not talking just between good and evil. How do you discern between good, better, and best? How do you discern between what is true in our culture and what is not true anymore? How do we learn to think correctly and teach others to think correctly in a culture that largely doesn't think correctly? How do we do this differently? What does that look like? To have mental discernment, moral discernment, mental and moral skill. Well, it goes on, and it teaches us in this purpose of developing moral skill in living this out, that the disciple, the student, you young men, you sons, regardless of our ages, We acquire disciplined instruction that brings about what is called in the text a prudent life. A life that's fitting. A life that is good. A life that just fits its intended design. That's what we want. Who God designed for us to be, that we live that out faithfully for His honor and glory. So this purpose, it says, is worked out in receiving this instruction. Again, I need to want it. We need to provide it. But it works itself out in a prudent life that is demonstrated in righteousness. Doing righteousness. Not thinking righteously of ourselves, but doing righteousness. Doing things that are right in accordance with what God has revealed as right. Things that are consistent with God's command. Things that are consistent with God's character. Doing righteousness. Then it goes to the next one. You see it in the text? What is it? Yeah. Doing Justice. This is an interesting one to talk about in our culture, isn't it? What does it mean to do justice? Justice, if you look at it biblically, from Genesis through Revelation, it is interesting that justice is primarily about God's rights, not ours. It is primarily about God's rights and our responsibilities. Now, through that framework, we begin thinking about what true justice is. Justice has to correspond to truth. It is a determination of rights according to the truth that God has revealed. We're not going to be able to develop as those kind of men, and we're not going to be able to develop those kind of men if we don't know the truth of God. Is everybody in the house with me? We can talk the talk about justice, but we will not do it, nor will we further develop it in the character of one another unless we know what God's design and truth is to which He has called us. And we regularly interact with that truth and that reality. I never cared if my son was popular. I wanted my son to know Jesus. And I wanted him to love Jesus. I wanted him to know the character of God and see his life conform just a little bit more every day to the image of the one who lived and died and rose again on his behalf, namely Jesus. I spent time telling jokes. I spent time dancing, having a lot of fun. And we spent a whole lot of time talking about the truth of God's word. Because my jokes are not going to get my son through the times when the bottom drops out of his world. And you and I both know that's going to happen at some point. I won't even be able to get my son through some times when the bottom drops out of his world. Only the true reality of the one true living triune creator redeemer God is able to do that. We need to know him and make him known. If we don't, we surely can't expect others to do it on our behalf. Justice, conforming to truth and fact and reason, something that is in short supply in our culture. The disciple acquires disciplined instruction that brings about a prudent life, demonstrated finally in equity. Equity, another term that gets a lot of use, a lot of spin in our contemporary culture. Equity really, at its base level, means being fair and impartial. To have a moral skill, developing a moral skill where there is no partiality. There's no partiality with people. Wouldn't that be a great place? No partiality with people. That we, our sons, our grandsons, the sons that come from them after we're long gone, that they see people as the image of God and develop moral skill in living in fellowship with people in a way where there isn't partiality and they are fair with people, but they are also impartial in the way they live their lives regardless of the circumstances in which they find themselves. I show no partiality. This is where we want to be. I show no partiality into the character of my conduct depending on the circumstances in which I live. That's a bad way to live. But that regardless of what we face, son, we are the same grounded person in Jesus Christ, seeking to know him and exhibit his character in every way that we live, every decision that we make. That's where we want to be. So to develop moral skill, living a prudent life, demonstrated in righteousness, in justice, and in equity in these ways. The discipler, the teacher, the father, needs to provide prudence to the naive. We can't expect those who have not lived through the same circumstances we have to understand how to engage all of the circumstances that we have faced. We lead them through that, ideally preparing them for these things ahead of time. To that we turn our attention. There's a break in the argument with a brief encouragement in verse 5. It really is this. Just let the wise hear. Okay? Let the wise hear. Because here's the deal. Going back to what we said with the moral the moral skill. I need for you, young men, I need for you to develop the skill. I want you, dads, grandpas, tell me if you're with me in this. Young men, we want you to be able to sense and see the danger of sin before it hits you. We would rather work with you in a preemptive way rather than reaction to sin. Amen? This is what we're talking about here. Developing moral skills so that we can prepare for some things. Help young men to see and observe and understand what is happening before it takes place. So that they don't make some of the sinful decisions some of us have who are sitting in this chapel. Amen to that? I want them to take the spiritual heritage that we're giving to them and advance it much further than we dreamed possible in our lifetime. I want you to sense the danger of sin. I want you to see the danger of sin before it hits you. I want you to be able to prepare to properly respond to it, young men, and to avoid it altogether. Dads, grandpas, this takes a lot of work and a great deal of humility to help them establish a workable plan. That is a prudent life. A prudent life is not just simply thought. A prudent life is a developed, workable plan that is lived out. That brief encouragement then again in verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. The one who understands obtain guidance. Just hear in order to add to everything. Now, let's turn our attention to verse 6 with purpose number 2. Again, to develop mental discernment. Verse 6 says, to understand a proverb and a saying. Understanding. What it is saying in verse 6 is this, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. How many of you young men sometimes listen to your dad, listen to your grandpa, or listen to your pastor? Not your pastor, because your pastor is awesome. But you listen to this pastor, and you think, this guy is speaking riddles. I don't understand quite what he is saying. Yeah. This is hard work. I'm not going to lie to you. I want you to understand this. Receiving the ability to gain mental discernment, receiving the kind of instruction that will provide for you mental discernment, it's hard work. Consistently engaging God's word and bringing it to bear on the circumstances of your life, it's hard work. Amen or no? And then to train others to do the same, that's hard work. You know, one of the main commodities that it takes up? Time. The most precious commodity that all of us have. And I give my time up to everyone. Right? I thought I knew how selfish I was until I got married. And then I began to understand just how selfish I was. I thought until we had children. These little creatures took all of my money, they took all of my energy, and they took all of my time. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. There is nothing, men, there is nothing more important that you are doing with your life. I don't care what your vocation is. There is nothing more important that you are doing with your life than investing in the spiritual growth of your sons. And sons, there is no important thing. Here's a riddle for you, something that is so difficult for you to understand when you're younger. There is nothing more important that you can do with the time of your life than receive the instruction from the Word of God. And let that life of Christ be lived out through you. Nothing. Nothing as precious. Nothing as fulfilling. Why do you say riddles? Why do you say that it's hard work? Well, because of this. Everybody in the room can understand what I mean when I say this. We're seeking to grow in our ability to understand some things that sometimes are very difficult when they're being said. In fact, I am purposefully going to teach younger men in my church. I'm purposefully going to teach my son. I purposefully teach my grandchildren. I have 8 grandchildren now. Purposefully teach my grandchildren things that I know they will not fully grasp in the moment that I am telling them right now. Did you hear it? Oh, my son's not ready for that yet. No, he's not. Not fully, but he can grasp some of it. And I'll tell you, there are going to be other people who are speaking into his life, and he's not ready for what they're giving him either, but they're giving it to him, and it is completely contrary to a biblical worldview. Our authority and our love, men, is being challenged day in and day out with the slogans that our young men are being fed in our culture all the time. So we share this information from God's Word and the character and commands of God, the reality of the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do they understand it all? No. But you know what's going to happen? They're going to be hit with something someday, and somebody's going to say something that they know. They can't adequately contend with the entire argument, but they know something's off. Have you ever been there? I know something's off. I'm not sure what to say about this, but I know dad, I know grandpa, I know pastor, I know they talked about something like this. And at least I know enough that this is off and I don't want to have anything to do with it. That, men, is a win. Tell the truth. The whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so enable you God. Right? Yes, tell them the hard things that they may not be able to grasp fully in this moment, but it will continue to accumulate precept upon precept, and it will all fit together as they mature in their walk with Christ, just as we continue to mature in our walk with Christ. The resounding theme, verse 7, lest we forget where this is grounded and where it's going. It is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of this kind of knowledge and this kind of discernment. Delighting in reverence and submission before Him. The controlling principle of knowledge here is a full-hearted fear, surrender, submission to the sovereignty of God in our lives. We are saying, as we develop moral skill and mental discernment, that we believe that God is who He says He is, that He rightly governs over us, and that we will surrender to how He has designed us to live in Jesus. And we're going to take seriously the responsibility to take the time and energy that's necessary to give every opportunity for our sons to walk in that truth as well. Here it is in brief form. You may not remember anything else from tonight. This one you probably will. What we are doing is we are talking about 3 aspects of this journey that take us eventually to wisdom. First is knowledge. Knowledge. When I say knowledge, you just say, oh. Okay, you ready? Knowledge. Knowledge. Yeah. Any of you who have a 14, 15-year-old son, you already know what I'm talking about here. Knowledge. Oh. Oh, I know. I know. I know you know. I know. I know. Why? Because they know everything at this point. I know, I know. I've heard it all before. But every single one of us can be like this, right? Knowledge. Oh, no, I know it. Every single person in this chapel is educated beyond the level of our obedience. Let that sink in for a minute. Oh, I know. I know the Bible. I know the stories of Christ. I know what he did on the cross. I know all that. I know. I don't want you messing around with this friend. This friend isn't good. I know. Keep it up. Not just the no. Not just the don't do it. Why? What is it in the character of Christ, the command of God, the character of God that leads us to make this decision and give this kind of counsel to our sons? Teach. Be ready to receive. Work together for the glory of God. Knowledge. Okay, we get it. But we have to move from knowledge to understanding. When I say understanding, you say, ah, knowledge. I got you, didn't I? Knowledge. There you go. Understanding. Okay, understanding. This one will make sense to you, I hope, I think. We all are part of a friend group, and in that friend group, we all have that one friend. That one friend that when we tell a joke, everybody in the friend group that's together hears the joke all at the same time, and everybody laughs. That was funny. Except that one person in the friend group who is laughing a nervous laugh. And you can tell because it happens every time. They don't get it. Is everybody with me? If you don't know who that person is, you are that person in the friend group. Sorry. 5 minutes goes by. You're walking down the sidewalk together with this friend group. 5 minutes. And that one person all of a sudden goes, that was hilarious. That's so funny. While all the rest of you are going, what are you talking about? The joke about the thing. That was 5 minutes ago. Ah, I understand. I heard the same words. Is everybody with me? I know the truth. I heard the words. Oh, I understand how that applies to life. Men, that's where we're leading our sons. By teaching and example. Not just, oh, that's not enough. Oh, that's how this applies in this very moment of life. So when I say knowledge, you say? When I say understanding, you say? Now, when I say wisdom, which is our ultimate goal, I don't want you to say anything out loud because this is where we leave it tonight. Wisdom has to start by saying, oh, there has to be a truth content that grounds this. But in order to get to wisdom, we have to lead into understanding, which is, I see how the truth applies to life. But only the persons who attain wisdom will actually say, I will. Wisdom is a life of skill lived before the Lord. I can lead you to, oh. I can lead you to, oh. But I can't make anybody say I will. That's the decision you're going to have to make this weekend. And the Lord bless you as he leads you to make that very decision.
Jeff Halstead with his message, Here's the Deal, Son. You've been listening to Building Blocks for the Family from the Bible Broadcasting Network, helping you build a strong family to the glory of God.
that concludes the online feature. By the way, BBN is on social media. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.